What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devotional with Trust in Jesus Ministries. Man, I'm glad you're here. Glad you're studying the scriptures with me. Hoping that you are trusting in Jesus more daily and that you are learning to place every little detail into his hands. Every little detail, let him take and let him keep and let him show you how you should live, what you should do, how you should walk, because he is infinitely trustworthy. And I hope that these scriptures that we've been reading through has been demonstrating his faithfulness as he's been faithful to the patriarchs, even when they were not. And so the same way as with us is that even when we're not faithful, he is faithful because the scriptures say he can't deny himself. His faithfulness will always be there. He is true to what he says. His promises always happen. And so today we are continuing on the story of Jacob, where we have Jacob who met Rebecca. Now he met Laban, and he has stayed with him for 30 days, a month. And we're going to see what happens after that. Well, this is the relationship. We know, most folks know. If you don't, you're about to find out as we go through it. And I'm excited about that, man, to open your eyes to the scripture and what it says. But we know about Leah and Rebecca. So let's get into the story, guys. If you haven't read it, 29:15-30, check it out. Stop the tape. See what it has to say. Then come back and we'll discuss it. If you have read it, then let's go on and get into it. So what is this saying? What is the actual words on the page? What are we reading and what does it mean? So it says that Laban's like, hey, man, you my family. You family, bro. He's like, you shouldn't work for me for free. He's like, name your wage. And then it goes into a little exposition and it talks about how he has two daughters. The older is Leah, the younger is Rebecca. I don't know what's going on with me. I keep saying Rebecca instead of Rachel. But yeah, the older is Leah, the bottom is Rachel. Now, it says, it contrasts them. It says, one, it says that Leah had weak eyes. So some, I want to mention this because it's going to come into play a little later in the story. But some say that the weak eyes is, it could be, you know, looking ugly. You know what I mean? But the word that is used for weak also means like young. Some translations of the scriptures, I believe, say gentle. And so it's like her eyes make her appear younger than what she actually is. Okay. So back then they had veils all the time and they wore clothes that was covering and stuff. And so, it's hard to tell people apart, but I think that is maybe what the scripture is trying to convey. The author is trying to say is that her eyes make her appear younger than what she is. But then it says that Rachel, that she was beautiful in form and beautiful to look at. So she was just a real pretty girl, but she also, I guess, had a shapely body or something like that. And so it says because of those two things and not because of Leah looking younger than she really was, it says that I'm assuming that's the case. It could be more, but it says that Jacob loves Rebecca. And so because he loved her, he asked for the wage. He said, what do you want? What do you want me to pay you, man, for working? And he's like, dude, I'll work for you 7 years if I can have your daughter in marriage. And Laban's like, yeah, dude, better for you to have it than for somebody else. He's like, you family, homie. So, yeah, we'll do that, man. Work 7 years and she'll be yours. And so it says days went by. Boom. It was like 7 years went by like a day. Because he just loved that girl. So he worked hard. And when those days were filled, he was like, hey, man, give me my wife. Because it was kind of like somebody explained it to me that it was kind of like Joseph and Mary, how they were betrothed and they were like literally married. Just hasn't consummated the marriage yet. And so he's just like, give me my wife. That's why it says wife, if you was wondering, rather than just saying Rachel for a bride. But he's like, man, give me my wife, man. He's like, ah, he didn't answer. He was like, I'm throwing a party. And so he called all the people, threw a party. And then it says that he gave her Leah. And then, or Leah. But anyway, he gave her Leah. And he says they went and they went into the bed chambers. They consummated the marriage. It says he woke up and boom, behold. That's what it says probably in King James. Behold, it was Leah. And he's like, what? And then he told his uncle Laban, he's like, what have you done, man? How have you given me her? And you might ask the question, like, how would he not know that this was not Rachel? And so this is where that gentle eyes type thing comes in, is that they are heavily veiled before the marriage and during the whole ceremony. And so it would be very difficult for him to see who she was. And then the chambers at night is pitch black. Remember, they don't have no, they ain't got like lights where you just flip on the switch and see stuff like that, man. It's just dark. When the sun goes down, they live by the sun. When the sun goes down, it's time to go to bed. You know what I'm saying? When the sun comes up, it's time to work. But not only that, the party that Laban threw was an additional helper for him to pull this scheme off. Because at these parties, there's wine. Wine's flowing, you know, because of the excitement and the attention of the wedding, man. Everybody wants to see the city. He called the men of the city, or he called the people of the city to come in and kick it with him to celebrate this momentous occasion. And for him, they're celebrating because of the fact that he's marrying his firstborn daughter off. But it's not that he's celebrating a marriage per se, you know. But anyway, he's like, because of that, probably he was a little inebriated, Jacob was, while this ceremony was going on, and so he just did not know. And so he's like, Laban, what you done to me, man? What'd you do? And Laban was like, bro, it is not a custom in our place to marry the younger before the older. He's like, hey, finish this marriage week off, right? He's like, you know, because it's a party, 7-day party for the marriage. He's like, and then I'll give you Rachel if you work another 7 years. He's like, dang, man. Jacob didn't complain, though. He didn't argue. He's just like, okay, seven, I'll finish the week, and then give me Rachel, and then I'll work the seven. I'll work the 7 years, and so that's what happened. He finished the week off, and then he got married to Rachel, and then he consummated the marriage with Rachel, and then he stayed and he worked 7 more years. So what does this say about God? Like, that's like, where's God at in this, huh? He's like, oh, man, I don't know. That's a crazy little story right there. What it sounds like there's a cheater in there. It sounds like there's a guy who likes to deceive and be deceptive in there, but I don't, where God at? Well, I think God is in the fact that he changes people, man. When God gets a hold of you, he changes you, man. What have we seen so far about the character of Jacob is that he has been a deceiver and he has been deceptive and he has been trying to usurp and he has been trying to take over all the time in every instance in his life with the people around him, with his family. And now that he's with this new family, he's more humble, right? This deception that occurred to him, of course, he's flabbergasted, angry, mad, but he doesn't he doesn't like wig out and kick Leah out or whatever. He handles his business the 7 days. He marries Rachel and then he stays 7 more years. What's to say that he wouldn't just have taken Rachel and left? Because, see, he has already been given Rachel in marriage before he even did the 7 years. The last one, he worked the 7 years and then got his bride. But this one, he got his bride and then worked the 7 years. So he's showing him more character. God has changed Jacob. And it was because God or Jacob had an encounter with God. Whenever he saw the surely this is the place of God and the gates of heaven at Bethel. God changes people. Has he changed you? Have you encountered God and has he changed you? And then what does this say about man? Well, I think it shows that you reap what you sow. That's what Paul talks about in Corinthians. He says that what a man sows, that so he will reap. And Jacob has been sowing bad seed into the world. And so he has gotten bad seed from the world. Now the deceiver becomes the deceived. Jacob, the one whose name means deceiver, has been duped himself. And that's what happens, man. That's what happens. But also, I think that it shows that we shouldn't allow adversity or hardships to stop us from falling in the way of God. You see, he is still committed and faithful, and he's doing the right thing. He's walking before God in truth by fulfilling his vow and his promise of service for 7 years when he could have just left. This is what it means to be changed by God. This is what it means to live a life that is honorable to God. So how can we apply these truths to our lives, man? Well, the first question is, have you had an encounter with God? Because if you had an encounter with God, let that change you. Let that change you. Now, if you are doing these devotionals with me, of course, if you're listening, then you are. And if you have read the scriptures before we have gone through this, then you've literally looked at the words of God, the things that God has spoken, the very words of God. Then that means you've had an encounter with him. And I want to put to test the thing that James says. He says, look at the word and let it change you. Let it implant the truth in you. Because if you look at the word and you don't do what it says, you've looked at a mirror, you've saw yourself rightly in the mirror and then forgot what you even look like. And so has that word changed you? And then finally, man, let those things that we have gone through that are disturbing and troubling and hard, a struggle, a strife, those things, let them keep you and move you to looking more like Jesus. Paul talks about in the New Testament, he says that those things we count as joy, James as well. He says because we find wisdom and we become conformed to the image of Christ. Yeah, I appreciate you guys for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.